Bill, you studied at the Second City, didn't you?
I did.
I always wanted to. I never
did. It's not too late.
You know what? It's not too late, which is interesting. And I've always wanted to make a documentary, so maybe I am going to have to go to the Harold Ramis Film School, which is part of the Second City. And look who's in the studio with us right now.
Carrie Sheehan and Jack Newell from the Harold Ramis Film School are both here. Hi, guys. Thanks for being here. Nice to see both of you.
Can adults go?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For sure. In fact, the film school is an adult program. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to enroll. I have a documentary I would like to make. Why the film school?
You know, several years ago, we started to offer classes for our students to get some on-camera work, and we started to offer writing classes that were more specifically focused on television and screenwriting, and our students just ate it up. And obviously, so many of our Second City alumni have gone on to do work both in front of and behind the camera with a tremendous amount of success. And we feel that we have a really nice secret formula to creating these types of comedic storytellers, and just decided that we would like to form a full film school.
And you know, I said jokingly, oh yeah, it's never too late. It isn't too late, because a lot of times, you know, we get our career, we get our family started, and then all of a sudden we realize we forgot to do some things we kind of really liked that were maybe a hobby that we'd like to build.
Yeah, I mean, we feel like that's going to be a population that we might serve with this film school. We do think that we might get some students that are right out of high school and applying, or pre-graduate level. But also, we do believe that there's a group of people out there that finished school, started a career, maybe decided that the creative arts field was going to be too scary, but now are looking back on their career and saying, you know, maybe I don't want to do what I'm doing any longer. And I've always been interested in film. I've always been interested in television. Maybe I'll give this a try.
Talk about the connection with Harold Ramis. This is a guy who, started out at Second City, went on to do great, great things, first on television with SCTV and then later in films. How did his name get brought into the fold?
Well, we know him on camera as Egon Spengler or some of the other characters. But I think why we like Harold, or one of the things that we're channeling from Harold Ramis's legacy, is his writing and his directing abilities, and starting with Animal House, which he was a writer on, Caddyshack, Groundhog Day, and all that. So I think when we were thinking about how do we do this, I think we liked Harold because it tells a good story. He started on the stage and then moved into the film areas. And I think that's a little bit about how we're looking at it sometimes. You said Second City, you started on the stage, and now we're kind of moving more confidently into the film areas.
I think a lot of people didn't realize, sadly, until he passed away, when you saw the filmography and you saw the top comedies of the last 25 years, he was right at the epicenter of most of them. That's not bad.
It's great, yeah. And I think, again, another reason why he's like a, you know, why we've named the school after him. And, you know, whenever we're going through curriculum and working through, like, well, okay, what are our students going to be doing for this year? We always come back to, like, kind of like a, not, I don't want to say what would Harold do, because that's, you know, weird. But, like,
but it's true,
what
isn't
Harold,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing to do, because he made smart comedies that had strong emotional components.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of filmmakers look up to him for those reasons. And people, audiences loved his films for those reasons, too. I think we always want to try and get our students, whether it be at Training Center or even on main stage, even though those aren't students, to play at the height of their intelligence. And Harold did that.
Sure.
And I think this film school is going to try and imbue people with that kind of approach.
Yeah, and we also have heard that Harold was just tremendous to work with. Everybody loved Harold.
Has anyone said a bad word about this guy? I'm telling you.
I don't think it's possible.
I don't either.
And
he and Bill Murray had a little bit of a rift towards the end.
How Bill Murray can be. Yeah. He can be
Harold
a
was trying to take a photo of him on his cell phone.
He didn't allow that. Bill Murray, not a fan of that.
Don't do that.
Now, what's going to be taught if you go to the Harold Ramis Film School at Second City? Is that where it's located?
It is, yeah.
What's the focus of this?
So it's a year-long program. We're going to let 15 students in each time.
That's it. That's the top, 15. No more.
It's really important to us that it stays kind of like boutique, small, intimate. We kind of think of the 15 people as we're casting in an ensemble, so we're looking for the right 15 people that fit together in the right group. We are going to let 15 new people in every 3 or 4 months. So if you don't get into the first time, if you're applying, there are opportunities to get into another group. Mm. And it's a year long. It's 18 class hours a week, very intense. I mean, this is like you're back in college again, or you're going to college for the first time for 1 year. They're broadly split into three categories. One is comedy theory, where you learn about great film, you know, great films and great television shows. And you also take improv. So our film students have to take improv classes, which is great. There's writing classes, which focus on storytelling and screenwriting.
Yeah.
And then filmmaking classes, which is exactly what it sounds like, making films and learning how to approach material from a director's standpoint.
And this is for somebody who's just totally into it. I mean, because look at this intensive training.
Do we know who the instructors are yet?
Yeah, we're building that roster right now.
Yeah, we are pulling from a variety of sources. So we are bringing in some of our top instructors from Second City that are already teaching in our improv and writing programs, but also in our broader sort of menu of TV, film, and digital courses that we've been offering for a while. And now that we've had we've gone public with the announcement, we are really receiving a lot of interest, not just from the local community, but from people from the coasts who want to come in and teach with us.
I believe it. And how do people audition? Do you have to audition? Is there something, you're looking for a group of people, special people. You want to make sure their interest is really there and the commitment is there. How do people find out more about this?
So we have there's a website, ramosfilmschool.com, and you can access the application from that route. There's a variety of questions that we're going to be asking you and a submission of a video and maybe some of your writing material if you have done that. And as Jack mentioned, we're looking to sort of cast a very diverse group of students because we think that we're building an ensemble here and they're going to learn from one another, and it's best to do so if people come from an array of backgrounds.
What's the cost for this?
It's $15,000 for the year.
Yeah.
We have a variety of ways that we can help students if that is a big check to write initially. Yeah. Also, the family has named a scholarship in honor of the Harold Ramis Memorial Scholarship Fund. And students can access and apply for funds through that fund that could be used for our school or, any other comedic venture in their lives.
Do you know if these credits essentially would be transferable to other colleges, or is that a separate entity?
Not currently, but we are, and we can't get into the details about this, but we're working towards in the future.
That's a good move.
But think about it. I mean, I knew when I was in sixth or seventh grade, I wanted to be on the radio. If there was a place I could go instead of college to just focus intensively on that and come out the other end and find a gig, that's worth it. So someone who wants to do this, $15,000 sounds like a lot of money, but is it really?
Well, and what we're really hoping to do is provide a lot of access between the students in our program and industry leaders. So we've assembled a very lengthy and cool list of advisory board members that are going to serve as advisors to us, but also help to gain students access to the industry, because that's really the ultimate goal.
Yep.
So every person that we've approached thus far has just said yes. So
who's going to say no to that?
Yeah,
it's impossible to say no.
And these are some serious players, like some alums that from the Second City, like Steve Carell and Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah.
Basically most of the cast of Second City Television, but also industry leaders like Doug Belgrad and Betsy Beers, who is Shonda Rhimes' producing partner. Yeah. I mean, a long list of people that we're hoping we can connect our students to.
And on the other side of the coin, we're getting some texts right now, and I don't know who it's from, but is the school hiring? Perhaps this is someone interested in being part of the teaching end of it.
They should shoot us an email.
And what's the best email address?
You can just email me. I can't believe I'm giving out my email address.
Well, don't. Isn't there a ramosfilmschool.com email? Come on. What's your phone number and your address while you're at it?
Exactly. Here's my social security number.
Mother's maiden name.
Yeah, mother's maiden name.
Go on.
It's fine. It's Jay Newell, JNEWELL at secondcity.com. Yeah, we're always looking for teachers. We want to talk to people. If you're a student or you want to be a student, we're here to talk. We're having an open house in March to kind of talk about any of these questions one-on-one, and if you want to actually get into the building and see the new screening room that we built and the sound stage that we built and some of the classrooms that you're going to be learning in, come on out to that as well.
Good. When somebody's applying for this, how much experience should they have, or do you want them to have? Do you want somebody to send you a reel that they've made, or is that not necessary?
What we're looking for is for people who already have or are interested in trying to cultivate an artistic point of view.
Yeah.
We actually would love people who have no film experience.
That's
or
better.
Any experience in the arts. And yeah. also people who have experience in the arts. I mean, that when we say we were casting a diverse ensemble, it means ages, it means races, it means genders, it means yeah. experience levels. We want to kind of bring all these people together. Because one of the things that Second City does really well is it's like this incubator. It's this creative incubator. You get people in the hallways who are writers and producers
sure.
and directors and actors and improvisers, musical improv, kind of all the above. Older people, younger people, kids. I mean, it's kind of this great kind of thing. That's, I think, what we're just trying to do with the film school as well.
And someone just sent a nice little text. I taught Harold Ramis's kids when they were young, and a nicer family would be hard to find. I really miss him.
Yeah.
Which is a sweet thing. So many nice things to be said about him. What's the website again, in case someone is interested in joining this Harold Ramis Film School or perhaps lending their hand as a teacher?
RamisFilmSchool.com.
Perfect. Carrie Sheehan, Jack Newell, you guys, good luck with this venture. And I hope people who are listening that want to do it find what they're looking for. Because really, if that's something up your alley, it sounds perfect. It really does.
It makes me jealous. This is the kind of thing
I
want so badly. Really?
Come on, Bill.
All right. I want in.
And Bill, you made the best point ever. You know, we see Harold Ramis and we see Ghostbusters and all these movies, and you forget about his writing end of things and directing. We see him as an actor. You're more of a film student than most, so you forget all the things he's done on that end of it.
He was the head writer the first season for SCTV, and that's, in my opinion, that's the funniest show that's ever happened, mm-hmm. and he was the head writer, so that just tells you how good he was. Thanks, guys. Good luck with this. This is going to be great.
Thank you.
A quick break, and then more show next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. I used to see him. I think I've told you this. Harold Ramis, toward the end of his life, and I had met him once or twice, and you and I interviewed him years and years ago. I would see him at the health club that I go to, and you know, it was one of those things. I didn't want to bother him, but I'd be working on a machine, and I'd look over, and one of my idols was right over there.
And he wouldn't care.
You know, I think you're right. It was always, I would just quickly say hello. There wasn't, I didn't want to disturb him. But you're right. There was never any indication that he didn't want to be bothered.
No, and, you know, we were talking earlier. You had a story that Bill Murray was at Mount Vesuvius Restaurant or something.
Yeah.
Or Vesuvius Restaurant. Oh, okay. And just people were taking pictures of him. He was at a little party with Justin Timberlake. Do we know that he was invited to that party?
It doesn't say whether or not. It just says he was there. I'm guessing he was invited.
It's I don't a see them hanging.
No, but it's a pro-am golf tournament.
Oh, right.
So what happens is after they golf, they pick a restaurant or a club or a bar and they all show up. So that's what it looks like was the case.
And somebody, they were trying to take pictures of him and he grabbed their phone and...
But the weird thing is, like, he has a history of if he sees people doing anything, he'll photobomb them, he'll show up in their picture. So he usually has a good sense of humor about that, not over the weekend.
And see, that's where I don't think it's fair, because if you give that impression that you're going to, you know, you're fun-loving and everything, then people are going to go, hey, there's Bill Murray, let's take his picture, maybe he'll do something goofy.
That's what's unpredictable.
And then he whips your phone off over the side of the banister.
I know.
But somebody texted 2630. Bill Murray really forgets where he came from. I knew him when he was working at Second City. We ate at this diner in Lincoln Park, and I paid for it. I'm glad we were friends and nothing more.
Oh.
And, you know, he didn't have a lot of money back then. We all help each other, don't we?
You're supposed to. Yeah, yeah.
But Harold Ramis was definitely more approachable.
The story I alluded to earlier when we were talking about the film school is, I guess, for several years, Bill Murray and Harold Ramis, even though they were, you know, friends for a long time prior, had some disagreements about some things, mostly the direction of some of their movies, most notably Groundhog Day, and because of that, didn't speak for a long, long time, which is sad.
Like how long?
Years and years and years.
Like double digits?
Yeah. I want to say right around there.
I don't get that.
Yeah.
It's like the Peter Cetera thing. I really... You know, you don't have to see eye to eye, but it just seems weird that it would put that much space in between you two.
Right.
And that much friction.
Well, Steve today had William Shatner on, who wrote a book about his friendship with Leonard Nimoy.
Yes.
But if you read much about their friendship, apparently they also, when Leonard Nimoy was toward the end of his life, they were not speaking at all either.
But don't, I mean, come on. If you know, if you're not speaking to someone, I always feel like there's jealousy involved.
Right. Of some sort.
Something
has created a
because
stir.
I'm sure the Shat Man was angry that Leonard Nimoy was getting a lot more attention than he was at some point. He's not even a looker. He's got pointy eyes.
Ears.
Eyes. That would be impressive.
That
would
have been an interesting show, too. most of the cast of Star Trek will tell you that...
Uhura?
It's not so much Nicole Nichols, but I know George Takei tells you that working with Shatner wasn't the easiest thing in the world.
He, well, come on, look at him. I mean, and he was great. He was so, his acting was so over the top. He could have been in the OJ movie.
You're right. You're right. It was always, that style of acting.
It was so like this, and the women want me, and let's grab and kiss. He was awesome.
It's so funny, because even as a kid, when I would watch the original Star Trek when I was a kid, and I shouldn't have known this at age 6 or 7 or 8, but I'd go, boy, this guy is really acting up big.
Yeah.
I mean, he really was.
Go big or go home.
It was a sci-fi show. It was the land of make-believe, but even by those standards... Just the way he talked, and he'd move his hands in and out. Wow,
very Shakespearean. It was like really like this actor.
No, so apparently, some members of the cast felt that he was a little over the top.
Well, he was, and he, you know, wanted to be the top dog.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He was.
He was. He was a good-looking guy. I mean, and look at the longevity he's had. I mean, you got to marvel at the longevity between Star Trek and T.J. Hooker. And Boston Legal.
And he was on that famous Gremlin on the Wing.
The Twilight Zone episode. Right.
That's awesome.
Barbary Coast with Doug. The time I interviewed him, and I know this is bad talk show host 101, but the time I interviewed him, even though we were talking about Star Trek and things, I just wanted to talk about Barbary Coast with he and Doug McClure. And he was into that because nobody ever asks him about that. So most of the interview was us discussing... A TV show that only lasted 9 or 10 episodes.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
Nobody does. Just me.
And him.
Just me. Yeah, barely him. It was me more reminding
Bill,
him.
Thank you for bringing that up. It was the best of my life. The best of times.
Nobody wants to talk about Barbary Coast. It was really weird that was the way the interview went, but he was fine with it, so I was fine with it.
And yeah, I mean, they came back together. He had some beautiful things to say about Leonard Nimoy.
He did. Almost all the book is about his friendship with Leonard Nimoy. It just didn't play out to the end, unfortunately.
It is sad, Bill.
It is sad. All right, we will take a break. That's what I'm afraid your relationship with Steve Bertrand will be eventually. You guys are best
friends now. No,
we're
like that now. No.
And then
it's
already
happened.
Oh, all right. All right.
I love you, Steve.
All right.
There's proof on our Facebook page.
Yes.
Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder.
Yes. There is very good proof of that.
The two that get ashes together.
Go on, try it.
I know. I'll have to think
Can't
of
do
something.
It? All right. We'll take a break. Steve with the news, then more show. Bill and Wendy WGN.